My name is Alan Morse, and today we're going to be talking, teaching in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy. And this is our lesson number 6, and we're going to be starting with chapter 6. And we're going to be teaching verse by verse to finish up this book of Timothy this day. And this has been a tremendous teaching Timothy has. I've just really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to the next one. Will be 2 Timothy. But now we're turning to your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And this is lesson 6. And we'll go ahead and start with verse 1. It says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own master worthy of all honor, and that the name of God and His doctrine, the gospel, be not blasphemed." You see, at this time, I told you this, but we didn't finish with this one, but we need to get into it for the flow. That these people were servants, and these people, He was telling them to work hard and to do great work for these people so that their gospel would not be blasphemed. And that's the same way with us and our work. The people who we work for, we should work, be the best workers that they have in the whole place, so that our salvation and our faith in the Lord, our gospel, would not be blasphemed. You see. And when you work for somebody hard and you're the best worker they've got, you know, eventually it's going to come about that you'll be able to tell them about the gospel, because they'll listen to you because you're something different. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're different than the rest of the world. We care, and we have God living in us, and it makes all the difference in the world to how we produce in our life here on this earth. Verse 2, it says, "And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefits. These things teach and exhort." He's telling that even if we're a master and we have people working for us and they're believers, they're partakers of the benefits. See, they should be involved. We should love them just like we do our own family, in which they are our family if they're believers. Verses 3, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine, to the gospel, which is according to godliness." See? You see, our doctrine is based on godliness, and we can say that because the only reason how we can be godly is because it's God living in us. He's the one that's going to draw us closer to Him each and every day. But this person, verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions and strifes of words. Thereof come envy and strife and riling and evil and surmising, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. What's the truth? The gospel. From such things withdraw from these things. We have to be careful who we're dealing with. We have to be careful who our friends are. We've got to be careful even with our people that we work with. You know, we got to be awful careful because these people can be totally corrupt. And we don't want to be involved in corruption. And we need to withdraw ourselves from these things. But godliness with contentment is great gain. See, when we have God living in us and we're content, because we know that God is control, that is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we'll carry out nothing out also. So the world's things in the world means nothing to us, not to a believer. It's not important. The only thing important in life would be to promote the gospel. There's nothing more important. Nothing more important than promoting the gospel. And we should be content, it says, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith in content. That's all we need. We need a place to live, and we need the food to eat. We don't have to have the fanciest cars. We don't have to have the fanciest houses. We don't have to have all the gimmicks and all the things that the world has to have. All we have to have is Christ living in us. And we get that by believing the gospel. But yea, that will be rich, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and unto many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and in perdition. You see, people get all wrapped up in goods and things. They drown you. We find that. I see that. You know, we all have a tendency to have things. And we collect things, and pretty soon I watch this show on TV with the pickers, and they go into these people's place, and for 50, 60 years, they just go buy and buy and buy and buy and buy, and pretty soon they're just drowned in all the stuff that they got. And there they are, getting ready to die, they're really old, and what did it do for them? And they spent all that time doing that. I wonder how much time they spent serving the living God or having God working in their lives, you see. There's nothing wrong with having things, but it can become an obsession, you see. And all of a sudden, God gets put on the back burner, and sometimes not even on the stove. So we got to be careful. Riches can cause tremendous problems, but it doesn't have to. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It didn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money. You see, we have to have money. It takes a lot of money in this world, as you know it, to live. It's tremendous. The taxes that we have to pay and the cost of living, it takes a lot of money. But we don't have to love it. What I do is I'm just thankful for what I got. And I'm not a long ways from a rich man. But God takes care of my needs, and that's all I'm asking. It's all we need to ask Him for. Our riches are in heaven, and they're beyond our imagination. We're going to be co-owners with the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's the one that created this whole world and everything in it, and everything was created by Him and for Him. Colossians chapter 1. Everything, you see. It's just hard to comprehend. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet, others after, and they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. See, they have erred in the faith. They have never turned to the gospel. They never were taught it. I was whole life never taught the gospel. I erred in the faith, and I was pierced through with many sorrows. And there's no doubt about that. No doubt about that. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, love, faith, patience, and meekness. You see, how can we do that? How can we do that? We can't do it on our own. The only way we can follow after righteousness, and godliness, and love, and patience, and meekness, that's Christ working in us. You see, God has provided this for every person in this world. All they got to do is believe the gospel, and He takes it from there. He seals you with the Holy Spirit. He fills you with the Holy Spirit. He baptizes you into the body of Christ. He does. We don't get baptized. He baptizes us into the body of Christ, and we become a member, and we'll be there, and that body of Christ will be the only people that will be in heaven when the day comes. The only people. Verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. See, lay hold to eternal life. How do we fight the good faith? What is that? The gospel. Lay hold to eternal. How do we lay hold to eternal life? By believing the gospel. That's how we are saved. By believing the gospel, wherever thou art, also be called, also called, and hast possessed a good profession before many witnesses. He says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickened all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot and unrebukable, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, How can we live that way? Through the Holy Spirit. Through God living in us. Through the Holy Spirit. That's how we can live the way that God wants us to. And what are we looking for? The appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. The appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that a second. What is that? That's a rapture. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And what we're talking about, the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says in verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 14. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again." What's that? The gospel, see? The gospel. If we believe the gospel, even so them, also which sleep in Jesus, even those people who died, if they believe the gospel, will God bring with them. You see, you're not going to be coming back with Christ at the rapture unless you believe the gospel when you died. You have to believe the gospel. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep that are dead in Jesus will God bring with them. But they had to believe that Jesus died for our sins, see, and rose again. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend with the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so ever will be with the Lord. You see? But it all starts in verse 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again. It didn't say if you believe in Jesus. It says if you believe that Jesus died for your sins. I can just put that in there because that's what is supposed to be in there. And rose again, you see. You see, that's the gospel. And that's what we said here. We're looking for this rapture, see. We're looking for the rapture for Jesus to come back. But in order for that to happen, see, for us, we have to believe the gospel. There's going to be an awful lot of people in this world that's going to miss the rapture that can't believe it. I would have been just a few years ago. I've been looking for the Lord to come all my life, but I wasn't ready. I didn't believe the gospel for my salvation. I believed in Jesus more than anybody else did in this country. God, Christ was everything to me. But you see, I didn't know the gospel. I didn't know the gospel. And you see, it's horrible to think about that. But you see, we're going to be judged by this gospel. Let's turn back to Romans. We've got some time here. Let's turn back to Romans. Put your marker in where we're at right now. And turn back to Romans. I got a big Bible here, and so I can read it, and I can't go as fast as I used to on the smaller one, but that one's so wore out I can't hardly see it. Let's look at Romans chapter 2, verses 16. This is how important the gospel is. Probably your preachers never told you this. You probably never saw this before. It says, in the day when God, this is Romans chapter 2, verses 16. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. When is that? When is God going to judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ? Well, it's at the great white throne judgment. That's when God is going to take everybody out of hell, and every unbeliever in the whole world is going to stand before him. You hear what I said? Every unbeliever. And these people are going to stand before him. And guess what they're going to be judged by? What does it say? In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, it'll be according to my gospel. You see, Paul's gospel, the gospel that Christ, did they believe? They're going to be judged by this Did they believe that Christ died for their sins, that he was buried, and he rose again for their salvation? Huh? Did they? They're going to be Baptists, they're Presbyterians, they're going to be Methodists, Assembly of God, Catholics, and everything else standing in that line. Because they never believed. They never believed in the gospel for their salvation because they never were taught it. They just believed in Jesus, just like I did. But believing in Jesus isn't salvation, you see. It's not believing in Jesus, it's believing what he did is what saves us. And that's called the gospel. Paul says, anybody preaches any other gospel, let them be accursed. You see, it's the gospel is what salvation is. And when you believe the gospel, you truly believe in Jesus. When you believe the gospel, he is your Savior, you see. But you can believe in Jesus, and it doesn't mean that you believe the gospel, you see. You see, the Muslims believe in Jesus, but they don't believe the gospel, you see. So you can believe in Jesus. That doesn't mean you believe the gospel. So this is why it's so important that we believe this gospel, so that we'll be ready for the rapture. Because if we aren't, we're going to stand before God and we're going to hear the gospel one more time. And that's before the lake of fire. And that's just horrible to think about that. Horrible to think about that. So we can't wait. He said, verse 14, and thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the rapture, which in his times he shall shew who is the blessed and the only potentate and the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's who he's going to be, see? That's who we're dealing with. The King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be the honor and the power of everlasting. You see, God's presence now is beyond our comprehension. We can't comprehend the magnificence of God. And we can't even come close to it. But when we have the mind of Christ, and we do after we believe the gospel, he opens up our mind and he can give us a glimpse of what we have ahead of us. And it's beyond your imagination. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and the mind has even conceived what God has in store for those that love him. That's where we stand, see. But we can't even comprehend it all. But we know it's there. He says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in the uncertain riches, but in the living God who given us richly in all things to enjoy. You see, God isn't a miser. He wants us to have things on this world to enjoy. But he just wants us to get them in the right perspective, see. He wants us to put them in the right perspective. You see, there's things I enjoy. I'm a fisherman. I love to fish. But you see, that love to fish doesn't even come close now to being that I've been saved by believing the gospel, my love for Christ, my love for his word, my love for the gospel, my love for people that they could come to know Christ. It's just not even close. Oh, I'll go to do some fishing, but it's not going to be nothing like it used to be. It's really going to be kind of just wasted time. Wasted time where I could be in the word and proclaiming the gospel. But he wants us to enjoy. He's not an ogre. You know, we're to richly enjoy all things. That they do good, and that they, verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. See, ready to distribute. You see, I distribute the funds that God gives me. I distribute, and I'm willing to communicate. That's what God wants us to be able to do. He wants us to help promote the gospel. It takes a lot of money to do this. But God has provided it, see. And I praise God for that, see. And also, I'm willing to communicate. I'm willing to go to whatever it takes to preach this word to the world that I can reach. And I've been doing it through the internet. I've been doing it through tracks. God has been doing it. He's been using me fantastic and using other people in my little organization, me and my cousin. He uses him tremendously to get these Bible tracts that these churches have never seen a Bible tract that had gospel for salvation. It's always Jesus for salvation. Well, Jesus is salvation, but he points us to the gospel, you see. And without the gospel, there's no salvation. There's no Holy Spirit. You're on your own, and you can't. And you just can't. You can't. You'll never make it to heaven that way. We got to communicate the truth. We got to communicate the truth. So it says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You see. That's why we preach the gospel. So people can lay hold onto eternal life. There's no other eternal life in anything else. Jesus told Paul to preach the gospel to the body of Christ. He didn't tell him to preach Jesus. He said, preach the gospel. And the gospel is what? That Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. See, that's salvation. Did it say believe in Jesus? No. It says believe the gospel. To believe that Christ died for your sins. Do I believe in Jesus? Most assuredly. When you believe the gospel, you believe in Jesus because you believe that he, Jesus, died for your sins. You believe in Jesus most assuredly. Believing in Jesus doesn't mean when you believe in Jesus, it doesn't mean that you believe the gospel. You've got to believe the gospel. Just because you believe in Jesus doesn't mean that you believe the gospel. Like I said before, many people believe in Jesus, but they don't believe the gospel. But when you believe the gospel, you truly believe in Jesus. When you believe the gospel, you truly are saved. You truly, becomes your Savior when you believe in Jesus. And he believes it into eternal life, see. And that's what eternal life is, the gospel. And how do you get? What happens when you get to believe the gospel? You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's Christ living in you. Paul calls it. It's just Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, that's what he says. It's the hope of glory. You have Christ living in you, and that's just something that the world cannot understand. The churches don't understand, but that's what the book says. It says, verse 20, it says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. What is committed to thy trust? The gospel. He knows what's committed to his trust. The gospel of avoiding profane and vain babbling and opposition of science and falsely so-called. In other words, you've got to stand fast because there's so many people that want to corrupt the gospel. It started right off when Paul was just started. He had the Judaizers come in here adding to the gospel. You can't do that. You add nothing to the gospel because it's the gospel of grace. And grace means what? Unmerited favor. There's nothing that you can do for your salvation because Christ did it all. And you add nothing to it. God won't have it. If you say, well, I've got to be baptized to be saved, God won't have it. I've got to join a church to be saved. God won't have it. Your salvation doesn't depend on anything you do. I got to pray to Mary. God won't have it. It's just believe the gospel. Believe that Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried and he rose and he did everything. Not only did he save you, he filled you with the Holy Spirit and he kept you. He kept you. He's the one who keeps you. And that's what's so fantastic. So fantastic. Let me show you. We're going to finish with this. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's look at verses 23. It says, and the God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what he said? He says that he's going to, this is everything. Your whole spirit and your whole soul and your whole body, when you believe the gospel, will be preserved blameless. Blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you accept the gospel for your salvation, it'll be blameless. How did he do that? How can that be done? Look what it says. Look at 24. Faithful is he that called you. Who called you? Jesus Christ called you. God called you. It says, who also will do it. Do what? Preserve you blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will do it. It's not up to you and me. When we believe the gospel, he saves us, he keeps us, and preserves us blameless until Jesus comes. Hallelujah. How wonderful can that be? And the last verse of this book, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. See, people have erred concerning the faith. They have not believed the gospel. Grace be with thee. Amen. Grace. Unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. Which all grace means. God has done it all. He has saved you to the end. Till he comes and takes you home. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we've had in teaching this word. I pray that every person here understands this gospel and that they would come to the gospel for their salvation and that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit and God would preserve them blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray it in Jesus' precious name, my Savior and Lord. Amen.